Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. There goes Chewie. Solo yet? I'm wondering about that. I haven't. And I gotta say that in the last, I'm gonna say three, from Force Awakens to Last Jedi, with Rogue One in between, I was out by, I don't know, 4 PM, and I made sure to see all those. On the opening day, I am guilty. I have not seen Mr. Han Solo. A lot of the spoiler alerts say cape closet. Not coat closet, not shoe closet, but cape closet. That's all I'm going to spill. I haven't even seen the movie. I have a fan in the studio. Not the kind of fan that be thinking, no, I have a fan, and it was awesome, and it was great, and I actually fell asleep to that fan. I'm literally talking about a fan. So I just woke up about an hour before showtime here, which that doesn't suck. I mean, showtime fast when you're nappy. So I'm winging a few things here. So the Diet Mountain Dew going down my throat probably isn't the best thing for a radio voice, but hey, it'll all work out. I brought my reading glasses this time though, so that's a plus. It's nice when you can read the liner notes. Twitter and email, they're up. They're running. SpeedwayAnywhere at Outlook.com. Anything you want to say, you want to make fun of me, you want to make fun of Rich, you want to make fun of Winnie. Winnie, he'll take anything you can throw at him. So he's good for the go. Let's see. My notes are all split up. I do not have them in order. Speaking of split, the split up season of the truck series, they ran in the opening night before the See, there goes my phone making noise. I'm distracted. The truck series is running a really split-up schedule. They ran the Friday night before the Cup All-Star race, so they will be off until Friday, June 8th, at Texas. I believe that's a support race for the IndyCar series. Johnny Sauter obviously still leads the points coming out of that, followed by new sensation Noah Gregson. Noah Gregson is, I've been bragging on constantly, he's doing phenomenal this year, running second in points, already won one, and I don't think Johnny Sauter is going to hold the lead long in that series. I really don't. I wish we had them here in the Twin Cities. You can bet he'll be running a cup race by the end of this year. Somebody's going to tap him on the shoulder and say, hey, want to drive my car? And it won't just be his beautiful girlfriend. The Xfinity Series, they returned at Charlotte on last Saturday, heading into the Big 600. Keselowski took the race. It was one of the few races this year where you saw the drivers in the field. I am so happy with the rules change right now because they have been suffering as a stepping stone division. And sorry, got an issue here as far as the board. They've been suffering leading up to this year is what I meant to say, because so often it's just another cup race, just less miles, less points, less pay. The new rules package has reduced the number of what we used to call bushwhackers when the Cup Series would come down and run with them in what was the Busch Series before it became the Nationwide and then became the Xfinity Series. Speaking of Busch, holy crap. Now, this is where it gets really tricky for me to cover. Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch won his fourth race of the year in the Coca-Cola 600. He also, this is the only track he's never won at, or the only race he's never won at. Kyle Busch won at Charlotte in the 600. Kyle Busch wins and crosses off all current tracks on his bucket list. Now, there's a little bit of talk and controversy about whether or not he's the guy that has actually won on all tracks. That's not completely true in the fact that we've had some tracks that have gone by the wayside, such as Rockingham, such as North Wilkesboro, amongst others, tracks that the Cup Series no longer runs on. I think that in his time, Jeff Gordon won on every track. But out of the current drivers on the current circuit, Kyle Busch has won on all of them. One of them, Pocono, which is coming up next weekend. And if you just heard me hiccup, it's because I'm grabbing my Diet Mountain Dew and I need a sip of something here because my throat is going. So, yes, as we speak, as of this season, as of all the above, we have a new driver that is one on every current track that is still on Cup Circuit. Kyle Busch, like I mentioned, crossed all the tracks off his bucket list, current circuit. He now surpassed Kevin Harvick for laps led. He's led 875 with Kevin at 820 with his victory at the 600. Last week, Kevin Harvick was, I'm going to say 25%, 33% more laps led than anyone else. Kevin Harvick had a bad week. Now, Kyle Busch is 10 top 10s, 8 of our top 5s, with 4 being victories. He leads Harvick overall for chase seeding with 25 playoff points over Kevin's 24, which is the closest drivers, 7 each. I'll get to that in a second. Harvick wrecked out early. Happy Harvick became human Harvick, ending his hot streak. He had a DNF at Daytona. Until now, in the 13th race, you know, he had been pretty much all top 10s. Of course, just like Kyle Busch, 10 top 10s, 13 starts. Busch, he still has some more wins. Seat points going into the chase. Top finishing order, the top 5 was Kyle Busch, Martin Truex, Hamlin, Keselowski, and Jimmy Johnson. Now, with Jimmy Johnson, what makes this interesting is that Mr. 7-time champion, it's only his second top 5 this year, and he's sitting 12th in points. Multiple finishes outside of the top 20. He's not the Iron Man. And this is also interesting on another point, because Jimmy Johnson has not been doing all that great amongst his teammates, too. I thought Chase Elliott might spearhead Hendrick Motorsports, but none of the Chevys are doing all that well this year. Stuart Haas Racing, I meant to say, has moved over to the Ford camp, and all their cars are sitting in the top 10, even at Eric Amarola, who was struggling early on. I'm looking at the clock, and it looks like it's time to pay a little credit where credit's due, and we'll get right back.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, it's Q at Speedway Anywhere, blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. As the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground, Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Confern Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie
at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service.
Wow, I'm realizing that I made a lot of liner notes tonight. We got through the first 15-ish minutes, and I still got a lot of racing to talk. All right, so as far as the Cup Series goes, Kyle is still in first with Logano in second, Harvick in third, Keselowski in fourth, Truex in, I almost said sixth, fifth. Like mentioned, all four teams at Stewart Haas are still in the top 10. The seating system, which I am barely able to follow, has second place Logano and Truex, who is in fifth, with 7 seed points each. I don't understand this. This is something that they kind of took from other sports. I'll get it one of these years. Maybe they'll change it again by the time I do. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. But yeah, Logano has 1 win. Truex has 1 win. Logano is seated in second. Truex is in fifth. And a partridge in a pear tree. The Cup Series will return at Pocono Sunday, which was a track that until next year. What did he write? Until last year, thank you, Kyle Busch had yet to cross off his bucket list. So we'll see where that all goes. Holy, the Indy Series, that was just a ride and a half, and I am kind of confused by some of this. The big love story. Taylor explained really well because they seem to be hiding out in the bushes, something like that. Danica and Aaron. Danica Patrick, obviously. Aaron Rodgers of the Green Bay Packers. They did a good job of staying out of the camera's eye. I thought there'd be a lot more celebrity sightings. Danica and Aaron, there is, like, I saw one tiny piece of footage of those two. It wasn't in the RV parking area. It wasn't, it wasn't next to each other on pit road. It wasn't, yeah, nothing like that. So, yeah, I'm going to turn that off because it's just distracting me. The real story is it was Danica's final race, and it only lasted until lap 68. She lost it on her own, spun backwards, was one of the very few that wrecked. She had her worst Indy 500 finish, worst finish at Indy, period, finishing 30th. this is her farewell race, and all I'm going to say is, so far, it's like those bands like that keep doing their final farewell, one last hurrah, you know, second to last hurrah, or whatever. I think Deca has to go play Family Woman, and hey, hats off to her, helmets off to her, however you want to say that. One very noticeable absent celebrity for Indy 500 fans was Jim Neighbor. His final performance back home again in Indiana at the Indy 500 was in May 2014. Most commonly known as Gomer Pyle and his work with Carol Burnett. It's a little weird seeing somebody else out there on the trailer with the piano and not even sure who the guy is that was doing it. But yeah, Jim Neighbor passed away last November 30th. And they said that he's had one of the most mispronounced names as Neighbors and most misspelled name. N-E-I-B-H-O-R. No, it's N-A-B-O-R. So that's leading up to final laps. All I'm going to say, the gleaming light still burns bright in Indiana. Let's go to the results. Will Power took the crown, drank the milk, another Penske victory. I believe that it took a while for Penske Racing to back into victory lane. Will back to back with his win last week because he also won the infield race in the road course. So that's, I think, possibly first for Power, finished first. Ed Carpenter, the pole sitter, finished second. Scott Dixon in third. The points now stand at Will Power in first, Alex Rossi in second, Joseph Newgarden third, Scott Dixon in fourth, and then Ryan Hunter-Reay in fifth. Indy was, I don't know, I'm getting mixed reviews on this because they're talking about the new engine, the new aero package, the new, it's not the Indy that we've known for quite some years. There's some rumbles that, sorry, I'm traipsing liner notes here. It's not the same package as in previous years. And I got to throw in my two cents on this. I really do. I'm not an engineer. I'm not a flipping safety type expert. They put the fenders over the wheels so the car's going skip into the air like they used to. One of them being Jim Weldon at Las Vegas. I believe it was 2011 or 2012. Matter of fact, I'm next up positive that it was 2011, which would have been the year before Danica took on the NASCAR series full time in the Bush years. So if these cars are doing what they're doing now versus the loss of a driver's life, I would rather see them just have an accident and walk away from it than the previous open wheel version that it once was. So when people are complaining about the fenders over the wheels, where the cars don't get that propulsion, having forward moving tires over a forward moving tire, to me, this is just safer. It's better. It's, you know, as horsepower goes up and up and up and up, so does the danger. Hope that makes sense. Let's go ahead of Indy and they'll be back this weekend on a road course for a 2-day stint and start doing their normal. I think they're in Detroit. Didn't look it up. Sorry. NHRA, they're returning at Route 66 Raceway in Elwood, Illinois. I know they call it Chicago, but they're actually there as we speak. They'll be there through Sunday. Now, with Route 66 Raceway being in Elwood, Illinois, remember Blues Brothers? It was Jake and Elwood. I wonder if the names were by design. You got Elwood, Illinois, Route 66. I don't know. I got to look that up. That's going to bother me tonight. I got nothing better to do. So, Blues Brothers reference to that. Jake and Elwood. Elwood, Illinois. Route 66. They're on a mission from God. Still waiting on Kurt to call in. He's got the Gopher News. Pretty cool stuff going on there. And then we got all kinds of curious stuff for final apps. I can't wait to spill this one on Rich and Kurt. And then, of course, baseball, a little bit of NFL, too. And then we got a handful of things about Stanley Cup going on. Of course, Major League Baseball is it's been a roller coaster ride, that's for sure. Be right back.
Take me out to the ball game. Swing, batter, swing. Swing, batter, swing. Batter, swing. Batter, swing. Yeah. Hey, baby, do you come here often?
next in line.
Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing. Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing.
I went to Harvard.
Hey,
I majored in pre-med. Just stayed for one semester. Tom's out. Who's next?
Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing. Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing. Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing. Swing, batter, batter, swing, batter, batter, swing.
Looks like the Twins are down 3-0 already in the first. You with me, Rich?
I am here, and I too am lamenting that Byron Buxton wasn't in center field right now, or he would have caught that ball and we wouldn't be in the early hole we're in.
Man, it's been a yuck fest lately.
Yeah, they're struggling. They're just not hitting. I mean, Buxton hasn't hit all year whenever he does play, and he misses defense when he's not in the lineup. Now he's back on the DL with the same broken toe. And Sano is back, and he had one bomb, but he hasn't getting going. We're just not hitting the long ball. We're just not scoring runs. And I don't know. It's looking tough right now for the local nine.
Before we go too far out in the left field, or, well, I guess we're talking about center field, aren't we? Did you know there's a horse at Canterbury Park named Buxton?
Love it. I did not know that.
I just found out myself. Yeah, Bert.
Pretty clever.
Yeah, Bert and what's the other guy's name?
Dick Bremer.
Bremer?
Bremer. I think you pronounced it Bremer, Dick Bremer.
I always screw that one up. Yeah. Just found that out the other day. Like I told you the other week, when I decided to start doing this gig, that I better learn my horse racing, and that's something I learned. This is, you know, I get cocky when
tonight's to be down there too. The dollar tonight, dollar night at, Canterbury, dollar intermission admission, I should say.
See, now that's your neck of the woods. It's a little more effort on my part. I mean, even when I go to the casino, I'll spend $10 in gas, and by the time I blow $2, I get cold feet and go home.
I hear you. Yeah, it's a hike out there unless you live out this way.
Well, it's kind of like split it in the middle. Do you go to Hinckley? Do you go to Mystic or Mistake?
I went up to, yeah, it's funny you say that. I was just up at Grand Casino, Hinckley, a couple weekends ago. Entered a Texas Hold'em tournament with 118 players, and I took third place.
Nice.
$50 buy-in. I walked out with about $570.
That don't suck.
No, it was a lot of fun, a lot of excitement. Just to make the final table and know I was getting paid was pretty sweet. I was probably the low chip man at the final table, last 10 people, and somehow I weaseled my way in the third place. So a lot of fun.
You understand that game a lot better than I do.
Yeah, Texas Hold'em, I play quite a bit. You know, Fongs has a free poker on Monday night. And then there's the Eagles Club in Burnsville or Bloomington that has it. So I kind of boned up playing a lot of free poker. And now I jump in the tournaments, and I've played enough to where I know I can beat anybody if I literally play my cards right.
I ain't got the stomach for it. I just don't.
You know, it can be grueling, though. Like, that tournament was 4.5 hours. So you got to try to stay focused, you know, especially when it starts, you know, you start watching guys dropping like flies and you're starting to realize you got a chance to be in the money. But those tournaments can go 5-6 hours sometimes. And, you know, if you're not really, you actually got to really stay focused because one blown call, you could get caught up in an all-in type situation, and you know, if you kind of blow it, you can lose all your chips fast. So you got to stay engaged mentally.
You know, that kind of competition is outside my league. I mean, when you're out there and you're competing, I mean I was in martial arts. I knew what I was going to spend every month or every year or every, you know, things like that. Now, when you start talking about earn money, lose money, I can't do that. So,
yeah, don't
I mean,
get me wrong. I'm not going to quit my day job, but, you know, I certainly make more than I invest. And like, you know, that last one, putting in 50 and walking out with 570, you know, that buys me a few more $50 buy-ins even without a victory here and there. But it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. And even if you lose, I consider it entertainment dollars, so I don't get bent out of shape. But, you know, I think if you behave yourself, wait for the cards to come to you. I have a strategy where there's certain spots where you can bluff. And there's certain times you can bluff. There's certain times where you don't bluff. I mean, you just have to know, you know, where you're at, where you're positioned at the table, know who you're playing against, and pick and choose your spots. And it's a lot of fun. But if you're getting the cards, man, you're going to win. But you got to also be smart when you get the cards to know, you know, to string guys along and get some money out of the deal. You can't just go nuts and go all in because then everyone's going to just bail out and then all you're going to do is win the ante. So you got to play it right. But you also got to know if you're chasing cards to, you know, then you can bet kind of high to see if you can get guys to bail out and buy some pots. So you just got to, it's a feel thing. You just kind of got to have a feel and you need some luck. But obviously if you get the cards, man, you're going to do well no matter what.
Well, and hey, I mean, there was a poker all night, poker 24/7, poker, there still is, you know, and these, they actually make TV shows for years about that. And hey, good luck to you. I want to bring up something. You know what we screwed up and missed out on last weekend?
Hey.
I just found out this morning that they were at UFC. Yes. It sucks. I just found out that I missed out on. Dude, had I known that was coming to town, I would have got my press pass. I would have gone out there and got some clips. I would have been there at 2:00 in the morning when they were doing the film. Believe it or not, they were actually filming outside of U.S. Bank Stadium in the new plaza at 2:00 in the frickin' morning. It was probably the coolest time of day that day because what did we have? A balmy 150 degrees?
Yeah, no doubt. I had a buddy that went, and he said it went till like 5:30 in the morning. And he said it was awesome. And he was hoping, sometimes they call for people out of the crowd to give it a shot. And this guy's pretty buff. He was ready to go if they would have, you know, called him. And he said it was awesome. They had a good time. And him and a buddy went. But that, you know, because they like to film that stuff at night.
And based on the weather, that was probably a really good choice.
No doubt.
I missed it. And they were doing it up under the stars outside of Bank Stadium. And, I don't know. I can't wait to watch the televised episode. That's going to be pretty awesome. Hey, we have X Games coming back there as well. The weekend, let's see. What is I got here? July 19th to July 22nd. So I think I need to start looking into a press pass, maybe? Speedway anywhere
cool.
At the X Games. Wouldn't that be awesome? Maybe I'll get you if you're interested. I'm actually looking to buying a couple of decent little handheld remote type units so we can do sound bites. What else? Let's see. I think there's not much to talk about the Twins, really, is there? I mean,
you know, the only thing they got going for them is now they're playing Cleveland tonight. That's a team that they're really going to be competing against in the division. If they can hold their own against them, the real key is going to be, you know, they didn't do it this time. They lost 2 out of 3 to Kansas City. So until the bats come around, you really can't talk much about them until they start hitting. Last year they were the fourth highest scoring team in baseball. This year they're the second fewest in the American League. So until they start hitting, they got pitching, they got Santana coming back. If they can get the bats to heat up, which is a big question mark right now, then they can get back in this thing. Because the division, they might be able to hang around if Cleveland's going to play, you know, to the level that they're playing at this year. Nothing like they've been. So that's about their only chance. There's no shot at a wild card in my estimation. I think that's going to go to New York or Boston or a team in the West. So it's going to be win the Central Division or go home. And more than likely, it's going to be Cleveland's division. And we're going to be, you know, kind of building for the future again, which is disappointing because it looked like after last year, this year they were going to take a step up, and instead they're taking a step back.
I think there was something interesting in the news, and I've heard it on multiple venues, is that, you know, the Mariners deal, the games weren't that far apart. But
we suddenly go up
against the Royals, and of course, let's delve back a couple months to Cincinnati, and you know, when you got a 3-point split or even multiple behind that, you know, we were 1-point games against the Mariners when we lost. Not all of them, but just saying.
No, we've lost a ton of close games, and we're victim to these walk-off losses, unprecedented amount already this year. I think they've lost as many walk-off losses already this year than they did just about all of last year, which is ridiculous for this early in the season. So they're losing close games. The testament to their pitching being good, but they're just not scoring enough runs. They're losing close games. And like yesterday, they're losing the 14th inning. Well, you know, you had they tied the game up, and you had five, six innings to get a run and win. Instead, they give up a run in the 14th, and they lose another one-run game. So it's, they got to flip the script somehow, or it could be a long summer.
Yes, sir. So, well, we had Kurt on the line. Not sure what happened there.
I thought I heard him there.
Yeah. I was going to have him give us the Gover news. So, here's something that we missed, Rich. I didn't have you for a week or two. It's not really a sport, but it's sport. And that's fishing. You fishermen at all?
You know, rarely. I can't really call myself an angler, but every now and then I'll get in a situation where I'll get out there and throw a line in the water. I enjoy it. It's nice to tip a few back and see if you can reel something in, but certainly not by any stretch. I'm more of a golfer. You know, I'll play the stick and ball sport, but not a huge fisherman, but I can appreciate it and respect it. And every now and then I get the opportunity. So I definitely can dig it, and I appreciate it. So nothing like, you know, it's a beautiful day and you're in a boat. Pretty hard to beat that.
You know, my thing, I kind of lost interest in it as a parent. Too often, we got Kurt back. Too often, I was.
Oh, am I on?
You're on.
Oh, okay. No. My head hit the thing. I'm listening to a speaker. I thought I was losing you on the speaker, and then I had to run back out into the living room. That's why I hung up, and then I got back on, and. And I haven't been able to listen because about 5 minutes before I was going to call you, I was able to see an episode of Comedian in Cars. I've never seen it, that Jerry Seinfeld show, and I didn't know it was as late as it was.
No, you and Seinfeld. I'll give you a pass on that one. I don't know how much of a Seinfeld. Me and Rich were just talking fishing, and I was just going to tell Rich that, you know, I used to be a more avid angler until I had children. And the problem is I spend more time putting bait on their hooks and then taking the fish off their hooks because I got to keep reeling in my own rod. And I don't get to actually fish. It was just, I don't know. So yeah,
I gotta bring this up with you too.
Now that they're all grown and they're all well capable, and even though Chelsea, I don't know, she will still touch a worm. She'd probably eat one before she'd actually put one on a hook. I don't even know, but yeah, that's where I was at with that, Rich.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, you know, it is kind of, I got to cut you off real quick here. Kind of funny, you two should bring up fishing. The Lynx
like
first coach.
Cut off again.
Okay, now I got you back.
I asked
the Lynx coach.
Have you heard up north?
Heard of what up north?
I think it's called Eddie's. It's like a fishing resort up north. It's up by, it's a little bit past Hinckley. Might be in that area. And this one goes back about, I don't know, 10 years, maybe. I took my wife up there for an anniversary. She liked to catch fish with her dad. So this was crazy. So we stayed at this little resort, and then they had a, like, I don't know, 7 a.m. departure to go out on the rig with the guide to go fishing. And it was supposed to be, you know, a bunch of people or couples and stuff. And I guess it was raining that morning, so everybody decided that they were going to melt and couldn't fish and decided they were going to stay in their rooms. But we showed up anyway, and the guy said, well, you guys are here. I don't mind getting wet. Let's go out. We went out in the rain, and it was fantastic. We caught a bunch of fish, but I don't mind taking them off the hook and baiting it. But that was kind of his job. He said, hey, I'll bait them. I'll take them off, even fillet them. We caught some trout. Caught a few other nice fish, and the guy filleted them up and wrapped them up, so we ended up bringing some fish home that we could fry. But it was a great gig, you know. I think it was very reasonably priced, and to have the boat to ourselves because of the rain that morning was fantastic, and the guide was great. He knew right where to go. He knew where the fish were biting, and he, you know, he really hooked us up. So that was an awesome time. I believe it's called Eddie, and I don't know if some reason that the actual lake escapes me, but it's not too far from Hinckley.
Interesting, yeah. Of course, the grandparents' land, the area that my parents or my mom grew up, mom and uncle. Yeah, it's right up in that Hinckley type area, because you go due east to Wisconsin Highway 35, shoot you up to Danbury. You've been up there. You remember that back in 2001. We brought you to my parents' land. I'm extremely familiar with the area, if not just passing through on my way to Duluth.
Well, so, Don't forget, probably one of the most beautiful rivers in America, the St. Croix, is right there. And you cross where it's really small, and then actually, the lake that our mom was on, mom and uncle grew up on, that's where the whole river starts because of a creek that leaks from the lake and starts the St. Croix River.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, you know, then you go further down, you get into Taylor's Falls, River Falls. Well, I know Stillwater and that, so that river starts off that small, and it's even wider than Mississippi in most parts, which is kind of, yeah, cool.
All right, we're going to get a little short on time, but I got to hit the manipulation. I got to get hit the manipulation buttons. So we're going to go ahead and hit the credit and come right back.
Don't manipulate me.
Hey, everybody. It's Q at Speedway Anywhere. blogtalkradio.com/SpeedwayAnywhere, otherwise known as Twig from the Twig and Rich Show. Has the long winter weighed your trees down to the ground? Twig and Rich and Winnie want to take a few seconds to thank Preferred Tree Service, your all-inclusive tree service company. Even when the trees weren't budding, Jamie was removing snow for us. You can call Jamie at 612-363-1503 or visit preferredtreeservice.com. Once again, 612-363-1503, Preferred Tree Service.
Take me out to the ball game. Do you
golf done.
Strike two.
Hey, baby, now watch your sign.
Strike three.
Hold on now, where you going? Jimmy's out. Next in line.
Swing, batter, batter, swing. Batter, batter, swing. Batter, batter, swing. Swing, batter, batter, swing. Batter, batter, swing. Batter, batter, swing.
All right, I fixed it all. So let's.
Could I ask Rich a quick question? I know you're running short on time, but speaking of swing, batter, batter, swing, how are the Grays doing right now, Rich? Have they started?
You know, actually, their first game of the season, official first game, is a road game for them against the Dodgers of all teams. This Sunday, and then the Grays play their first home game on the 10th. So I'll be announcing my first home game up in Anoka at beautiful Castle Field on June the 10th. 5:00 start.
Oh, cool.
Free admission. And they've got a beautiful little stadium with back seating and bleachers.
Yep.
And it's covered. If the rains, you're covered. And it's a fantastic little stadium. So come one, come all. Yeah, it's a good time out there, good baseball. So season is underway. I'm glad you asked, Kurt. It's getting underway this week.
Okay, cool. Now,
I had that in my liner notes. Where is it?
No! Oh, I did not know that. See, that's why you never come prepared.
I had that in my liner notes. Where is the location? You said Anoka.
Castlefield, right off 7th Avenue.
7th and?
You know, it's 7th Avenue right off of, trying to think real quick because I haven't been up there in a little while, since last summer, so I'll be taking my first journey up there. But I think, I don't know if it's 169, but you take the 7th Avenue exit and just go north, and it's on the left side there. You really can't miss it.
By the high school?
Just past the high school. It's at the Anoka High baseball team plays there. So it's right there to the left past the soccer fields.
I would have no clue where it is since it's by a school. So didn't. Thank you. Thank you.
Anoka and Champlin. Rich, Kurt, Stanley Cup. Holy crap, have those guys gotten tense?
Well, for me personally, it's still hard for me to hear the word Las Vegas and Stanley Cup. If I'm going to mention not a great team here, although out in the desert, yeah, Arizona. Yeah, the Coyotes, I could get used to that, but it's just weird hearing Las Vegas and Stanley Cup at the same time.
Yeah, it's a hell of a story. I mean, last night they took one on the chin, but looks like it's going to be a great series between them and the Capitals. I would be shocked if it didn't go 6 or 7, and I think they're going to be right in every game. And Capitals have the longest city drought for a championship, longer than Minnesota. We don't count. We're talking about the four major sports. So if the Capitals win, we're going to be on the hot seat there. But great story for them, but amazing story for Vegas for an expansion team to do what they've done.
Well,
even if they don't win, it's remarkable. But, next year they're talking about bringing in Seattle as an expansion team under the same rules that Vegas got to pick and pluck their team. So a lot of the teams aren't too happy about that because obviously it was a pretty successful formula and a pretty sweet deal that they gave these franchises to come in and load up their teams. I don't know what's going to happen next year because a lot of those guys are on one-year deals, and I don't know if they can structure it But what they pulled off this year is remarkable.
Well, yeah, game one.
That save was just a blind luck save last night. The ex-guy in the Wild, Tuck, had the open net. And all he had to do was lift it, and he shot it, and the goalie stuck out his stick and blocked it. That was remarkable.
Well, game one, 6-4, kind of high scoring there. And then game two, I mean, that was this one is going to go at least six no matter what. And don't be shocked if it is seven.
Absolutely. So I just want to keep watching it because it's remarkable. It's hard hitting, great hockey, fast paced. I mean, it's a fantastic story. And I don't have a problem with either team winning, and I'd be happy for their cities. And, Vegas has always been Vegas. Everybody goes and does their thing and gets the hell out. It's kind of nice for the locals that live there to have their own team and to have a story like that and something to get behind. And think about what happened there with the Jason Aldean concert shooting. Really, that team helped galvanize that town after that absolute nightmare on October 1st, and they've been winning ever since. Really gave that city something to lean on during some tough times. And I'm happy for people that live there that actually can have a team of their own. And, you know, obviously don't think that the rest of the leagues aren't looking at this. There might be some other franchises there sooner than later.
Yeah, and especially you bring up October 1st. They needed something else.
Well,
yeah,
the Raiders
that was ultimately Mondo Bizarro. Just, of course, if something's going to happen, it's going to be in Vegas, but that was...
It's going to be wild when the Raiders start playing there in a few years.
Yeah.
That's another thing I was thinking about. Are Raiders really a Vegas Knots team?
It's going to happen.
Well, they're going to have to make better choices. Cause they're not... I don't know. They're not what I think of when I think of Vegas. Hey, another deal, too, is when you think about the Golden Knights and you got the Golden Nuggets. How coincidental, you know.
No doubt.
Both championships going down at the same time. Hey, I'm going to run out of time
here.
Hey,
you could get other golden things. You could get other golden things if you go outside of Vegas County. I'll stop.
Is that the showers now?
I'm sorry.
I'm surprised a female team called the Honeybees. Rich, Kurt.
Yes.
The NFL ruling on the protesting. Any thoughts?
I think that if they had some balls, they would have had somebody look at that and say, you know, what are these guys really protesting? Police brutality. Not the worst thing in the world to try to take a stand against that. And I think that to say that they got to do it in a locker room, it was the NFL's way of trying to say, we're going to deal with this in a way that do what you want to do behind closed doors. But I think they could have stood up and found a way to, you know, help fight the cause as opposed to trying to sweep it under the rug. But
here's my biggest problem is that what's his name just dropping out of my head? Ed, the original guy, Kaepernick. He's the one paying the price. And
absolutely.
That bugs the F out of me. It really does. Meanwhile, there have been many that have followed him on this. Yes, he got twice, and that's never going to be, that's never going to be fixed. Colin Kaepernick, he tries for all the other ones I followed, and he deserves to play out his life and be the athlete that he is. And bugs me.
Maybe he'll get a chance now. Maybe he'll get another chance. We'll see. Hopefully,
yes,
he will.
Sir. I hope he does.
Hey, boys, let's talk about the NBA Finals.
You go ahead.
They're about to pass down in Warrior Land, Frisco, city by the bay. You know, everybody's saying LeBron against the world. This is probably one of the weaker teams he's brought to the finals the last 4 years in Cleveland. Meanwhile, the Golden State looks stacked again. So it'll be interesting to see what LeBron can do.
You know, I'm so bored with them too. But one thing, just that I don't think it was a easy run for either team though this time. I mean, yeah, I mean, so that's, and I think if this was just the Warriors and the Cavs just being them typical selves over the last few years, nobody would be caring about it at all.
No, for sure. The other teams have closed the gap. Houston was right there.
Yeah.
Celtics were right there, and they took them to seven games with their two best players out. So
yeah.
Definitely, I think this two-team's four-year string is going to end sooner than later. But it is quite remarkable.
It is. You got to give them, you got to give them credit though for what they've did. I mean,
and you can't count LeBron out though. I mean, he is the best player on the floor. Although probably the next four best players are on the other team, so it's going to be an uphill battle. But you never count out the best player in the game or the best player on the planet right now.
Yeah,
should be interesting. Hopefully Cleveland will make a series of it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Golden State took it in five. You know, but we'll see. If LeBron can pull out a few games, maybe it'll make an interesting series. We'll see.
Yeah.
All right, Kurt, what's the latest on the Gophers? Gopher baseball.
Well, they're going to the NCAA, and I don't know who they're going to play, but they're
Canisius.
And who are they playing?
They're playing Canisius on Friday night.
Okay, they are. That's right. And they are hosting, aren't they?
They're hosting for the first time in about 20 years.
Yeah.
And they're actually the favorite to win in this regional. Yeah, but Canisius has a really good starter who could give them some trouble in this first game. After that, if they can advance, they could make it to one of the Super 8 regionals. They haven't been in one of those in a long time. And obviously the winners of those Super 8 sort of the College World Series in Omaha.
Well, you know, too, just hearing, and I had no clue that they were ranked until late in the year. It was probably about a week before the Big Ten tournament that, and it's just kind of like, they're ranked, and I know they have won Big Ten titles under John Anderson, but, you know, it's just kind of like, too, I just thought, wow, they're going to finally get to host a regional. It was just nice.
I might head down there Saturday. I might go try to check out a game or two on Saturday, although the weather forecast says that it should be the nastiest day of the weekend. So, that being said, I might go down there Sunday since the Grays have a road game and I don't have to do that. So, Siebert Field might be the place to be on Sundays, particularly if we advance to the championship game.
Well, Yeah, I have. I haven't been there since they've redone it. But Siebert Field, though, I just still love that. Once you're in there, not just a simple little park. And then, but though I still love the gray mesh steel covering the windows of the buildings across the street. They're on the third base.
Gotta love it.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. All right, let's get this stuff covered. I'm about to get kicked off. Rich, you keep us abreast of the live coverage there in Milka. You keep us abreast whether you grill up some chicken breast or you spot a nice breast in the crowd. And
I want my beads.
No, you want
beads?
Beads, the magical fruit? Well, I've never heard talking about that. Mardi Gras. So.
Yeah.
Kurt said beads. Rich said beads.
Well, you said a brass.
I'm talking about brass. All right.
Yeah, I got some Mardi Gras stories we could tell another later day.
Hey, that you know what? We can open up a show about that too. All right. So Kurt covered Gophers. We got the fishing opener there and the final. Let's do a stacks of three ways.
Can I add one thing here? The Gopher pitcher had the 3-hit shutout, though, which nice.
Beautiful thing.
Kurt, have you been drinking?
No, I wish I was, but I haven't been.
Okay, don't hold your breath for too long. You sound dizzy. All right, let's do a couple stacks of three ways here. Five laps to go. Speaking of fishing opener, fish with tartar sauce. Fish with Dan Tartable or with Pop-Tarts?
Fish with tartar sauce all day long. Love tartar sauce.
You won't eat fish with Dan Tartable?
No, not anymore.
What about you,
Kurt? I wonder if Dan Tartable ever had fish with George Brett.
Oh, I'm sure. Steak and surf and turf.
Yes. Great episode of Seinfeld with Danny Tartable, though, if you get a chance to see that one.
Love it.
I will. I'll always take it with tartar sauce, but speaking of fish, there is the band fish, and just like that sound bouncing around the room all night long. I've been there before, so I'd like to mention the band Fish.
I'll take it anyway. I'll take it anyway as long as I can have a lemon to squirt on it. And not Dan, by the way. Not Dan. On the fish. All right. Let's go another stack of three. Four to go. Fishing opus. Season openers or beer bottle openers?
Beer bottle openers. Got to have one on your keychain at all times.
Go ahead, Kurt.
I got to go with a beer bottle opener, too. They always come in handy.
Well, I haven't been at any fishing openers, so I got to decline that one. I haven't been at any season openers, so I got to decline that one. So, yeah, I guess it's unanimous. We're all going beer bottle openers.
We had a triple play.
3 laps to go. Has anyone noticed how many of these young guys, I mean, maybe we're all getting old, They all look like Justin Bieber. Bushy eyebrows. Is it just me?
Well, I think we all have Bieber fever.
Well,
that's what he said.
Something like that.
Your
favorite?
Guys with crazy beard.
What's that, Rich?
No, I mean, besides the Bieber look, you got the Grizzly Adams look is a real big thing now, too.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen that come back a little bit, especially with the genders.
Yeah.
There's a few guys out there that definitely got some red going on.
Oh, yeah.
Favorite trophy? You know, like Stanley Cup,
trophy, World Series.
You know, something that's exclusive to either sport or a certain game or
You know, I think the World Series trophy with all the little pennants and flags and the gold and the different tiers, it's a pretty sweet-ass trophy. It's always been my favorite. I mean, obviously the Stanley Cup is revered and pretty lot of history. You gotta love skating around with it, but it's hard to beat that World Series trophy. But there's a lot of cool ones out there, don't get me wrong. I'll still take a trophy.
What about you, Kurt?
You know, I gotta go with the World Series one just because it's just one of them, you know, every gold pennant flag on it is supposed to represent every single team. And you know, like football trophies, they got like the player and that, where the baseball one, you got all the pennants of all the teams, just the words, and then it's got the gold baseball and the little crown, and it's different. And I remember being at the Dome passing the two World Series trophies. It didn't get a gigantic crowd every time, but you would pass it and you would notice it, and it's kind of like it wouldn't go to you, you would go to it, and it was just kind of like it acknowledged you saying hello to it. If it was a person, that's what it would be like. It would acknowledge you. You didn't have to acknowledge it. It would acknowledge you.
It kind of gives you the nod.
Exactly. That's the word. Yep. The nod. Yep. Yep. So, you know, I love the Stanley Cup just because of that history. And guys will kiss it still, which I've always loved. So, but I do got to go with the World Series trophy. Yeah,
I got to tell you, Kurt, that the one that was at Twins Fest was actually the replica.
Oh,
It's not the real one. The reason that this came to mind to me was there was talk about the Stanley Cup trophy and how they're running out of room on it and they want to replace it and whatnot. What I really like, and you guys are spot on about the one with the flags coming up out of the World Series trophy, but what I also like is the Harley J. Earl trophy, of course, at Daytona for the Daytona 500. Now, what they do with that one is they keep building another base on the bottom of it. It's adaptable like that. And, of course, I don't think you can suddenly take the Stanley Cup and do it. But in hindsight, going forward, I think all the trophies should be built for millenniums to come. That's just my thoughts on it.
Well, you know, pretty soon the Stanley Cup, though, it's going to become digital. You know, it's going to be that point where people, other normal people, get to touch it just so that way they can go
just
through all the team names. Yep, exactly. Exactly. Yep. And
all right.
And
I have knocked on the clock to sensitivity. Oh, my God. They're giving me a tell.
I think we're on lap two.
Actually, that was two to go. Yeah.
Oh.
One to go. Burns. That whole talk in baseball. They even made fun of it on Simpsons. They're making fun of Don Mattingly because Burns kept on telling him to shave his sideburns. Who are the other players?
The other what?
The guys that were supposed to clean up their sideburns. But there was a whole baseball dilemma about they wanted them to look more professional.
Yeah,
back in the 90s.
Gotcha. Yeah, that was a big deal back then because the Yankees always, Steinbrenner always had them no mustaches and had to be, you know, clean cut looking. And there were always guys that tried to go against that or got in a little trouble. And Thurman Munson was one of them back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. He didn't even got after Reggie because Reggie got a little bit. Mustache was getting a little bit tight, but he was always at odds with Billy Martin and George Steinbrenner. But, yeah, you're right. Mattingly even tried to have longer hair than it was acceptable. There's always been a handful of Yankees that, you know, didn't like George's rules in that regard and pushed the envelope and sometimes got in trouble for it.
Well, didn't Brady Anderson get in a lot of trouble? I could be wrong when he played for the Orioles.
Well, he might have been juicing.
No, yeah. Yeah, I think, I know, though, that East German women's swimming team, though, they probably could have grown sideburns because of what they were using, but.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. They had, they gave new meaning to the term bearded clam.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yep.
What's funny is I spend too much time hanging out in the studio here over at the office. Probably don't even change my underwear or socks.
Going on, yeah, I heard
now.
You throw your underwear and socks at the corner and they come out fighting.
Yep.
Throw your socks at the wall and they stick.
You know what? At least something does. Yeah. All right. We're knocking on the clock now. And
knock, knock, knock.
I am. No, there goes Kurt with his Guns N' Roses again. Yeah, I appreciate you guys chiming in. The last of the Royal Weekend at a major sporting event, the Prince and the Princess. Here comes Taylor for Aaron.
Hi, Taylor.
And Danica.
Rodan.
And,
we're gonna make-
yeah, Kurt. Kurt came up with some clever ones. like Rodanica, Roger Rodanica,
the Japanese monster.
But what I really want to go on, you know, is thank you, Kurt.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. It was nice talking to you again.
What's your life?
No problem. We were fun.
I think we had a great show. Yeah. So let's...
great show, boy.
Let's take a swing.
Take me out to the ball game.
We'll take them deep again next week.
Send me some Jimmy John's, because I'm breaking fast.
Swing, better, better swing, better, better swing, better, better swing. Swing, better, better swing, better, better swing, better, better swing.
Be
swing.
Fast.
Yeah. Hey, baby, do you come here often? Next in line, swing, batter, batter, swing.